Good morning, everyone. I like that. Boy, you folks come right back. We've gotten accustomed to each other, haven't we? You go on a conference, and though we've been here before, lots of times you have new people. And they don't know you, and we don't know either. And in a sense, it's like a pig in a poke. And you don't know what you're going to get. I mean, it's so wonderful to see the speaker and the congregation just gel together, and I trust it's been helpful for you. Tonight, let me just share with you what we're going to be doing. I'm sure many of you have heard of the Left Behind series. And there is some confusion in them concerning people having a second chance to trust Christ after the rapture. My wife has read some of the books, all of them. I will not read them. Now, it's not because I have anything against them, but they are fiction. And I find that if I start reading fiction like this, I begin to bring fiction into my Bible messages, and I don't want to do that because I'm a biblicist from the word go, as you can probably understand by now. And I want to deal with that subject this evening. This morning, I would like to deal with the last trumpet. What are we looking for? We're looking for the day when the trumpet sounds, and we'll meet the Lord in the air. We'll see in a moment that Paul calls it the last trumpet. Now, if you really know your scriptures, you'll find that other trumpets follow it. So how do we handle that and be able to answer and are able to answer critics that say to us, you believe in a pre-tribulation rapture at the last trumpet and there are more trumpets after that, therefore, you're wrong. You see, that leads to a mid-trib position or a post-trib position. It leads to a post-mill position. And I believe that these views are in error. I didn't mean to do that. I saved that, you know, for my wife. No, not really. Not really. I've never hit her in my life. So we're going to deal with that matter of the last trumpet this morning, and I trust this will be helpful to you as we go through various passages of Scripture and see what God has to say about it. Let's pray. Father, we feel so helpless at times. You give us the privilege of standing before your people, and we believe that we have what the Spirit of God has led us to speak on. And Father, there are others in your circles that may disagree with us. And Father, our purpose is not to cause an argument. Our purpose is to understand what the Word of God has to say. And Lord, I pray that you would give us understanding in the power of the Spirit this morning as we look at your word. And might we go out of here rejoicing again at the clearness and the clarity and the beauty of the word of God that you've given to us. Written by so many men over so many years. And many of them never saw one another, but it all dovetails together. Because there was one writer, and the writer was the Spirit of God. And Father, we pray that he who wrote the scriptures, the Holy Spirit, caused men to write them, will speak to our hearts through that which he has written. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4. Now you've heard that passage, I'm sure, and read it many, many times in your life, but we're going to look at it again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13. I know of very few funerals where this is not read. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I was preaching one time years ago on the rapture one night, and the church had a balcony back there, and just as I finished, I got a young man to blow his trumpet. Well, those people just about jumped out of their seats. It was an effective way of ending a message. Now, we don't have a balcony, so I can't do that this morning. Don't worry. But you see here, in the Word of God, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a what? Shout. With the voice of the archangel and with the trump or trumpet of God. All right, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Now, these two verses are, these two portions, rather, are very, very familiar to those of us that have come to Christ. But I want us to get the setting. Paul says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Now, what is a biblical mystery? A biblical mystery is not something about ghosts. It is not a spun tale, web of whodunit. A biblical mystery is something that has always been in the mind of God, but was not revealed until this particular time. And to Paul, it was revealed the rapture. Now, I must say one other thing. Jewish people never understood the rapture. Why? Jewish believers in the Old Testament didn't know anything about the rapture. They understood the tribulation period. They understood the millennial reign of Christ. They understood that Messiah was coming back to the earth to rule and to reign, but the rapture was not there. It was left for the Apostle Paul. Jesus indicated something about it, but it was left to the Apostle Paul to unveil the mystery that God has. Now, let's see what it is. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And here's the phrase. At the last trump. At the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, look with me at some scriptures by turning to the book of Revelation, chapter 8, for a moment. The 8th chapter of the book of Revelation is a tribulation passage. Now, we find in the 8th chapter the seven seals in the 8th and 9th chapters of Revelation. And let me just begin reading with verse 1 and we'll come to what I'm trying to bring out to you this morning. And I saw when the Lamb, by the way, some are holding today that the first six seals are opened by man and that Jesus does not come back for a rapture until late in the tribulation period. But I submit to you, the first seal is broken by Christ. It's not what man does. It's what God doing in his Son. And I saw when the Lord opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, I told you chapter 8, and I'm reading chapter 6, and I want to be reading chapter 8. Have you ever been wrong before? Well, I have, and I continue to be. I'm sorry? 8 and 6, when you have bad eyes, they don't look too much different, do they? Now, some of us know. Chapter 8, and when he had opened the 7th seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour, and I saw the 7 angels which stood before God, and to them were given 7 what? 7 trumpets, and another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the 7 angels, which had the 7 trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. Verse 7. The first angel sounded. Sounded what? His trumpet. Verse 8. And the second angel sounded. Verse 10. And the third angel sounded. Verse 12. And the fourth angel sounded. Chapter 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded. Verse 13. And the sixth angel sounded. And then you have to jump all the way over to chapter 11, verse 15, when it says, and the seventh angel sounded. Well, we hold the position of a pre-tribulation rapture. And the word of God says that we'll be taken at the last trump. Now we've got a problem. Here are 7 trumpets that blow after the 7th trump, which would make you perhaps begin, if you really think it, begin to think, if you think this through, Lord, if the rapture is the last trump, how can I hold a pre-tribulation rapture and there are trumpets that come after this? The last trumpet is already blown. Now, if an unsaved person came to you and you were witnessing to them about the things of Christ and they asked you this question, what would you say? Usually we'd go, I don't know. But I'm trying to open the Word of God so that we can have an understanding on this morning of what it's all about. First of all, we have to kind of understand what Paul meant by it. Paul only referred to the last trump. He didn't refer to any other. And it implies that the Corinthians to whom he was speaking, or writing, I should say, understood, they knew the identity of the last trump that was either from Judaism or the Greek or the Roman culture. And we don't know this from their culture today. We have never been able to dig it out. But Paul could not have meant that the trumpet that will sound in 1 Corinthians 15 would be the absolute final trumpet. Now, if you will go back with me to Zechariah chapter 14. Somebody asked me why I wasn't preaching on Zechariah when I wrote a book on the subject, and I simply said the last time I was here I preached on Zechariah. I do keep a record, and I'm constantly studying and digging up new things. In Zechariah chapter 14, we have a passage that's dealing with the millennium. We have the rapture, then the tribulation, and then the millennium, or the 1,000-year reign of Christ. It says, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king. Notice how king is brought in here. The Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Feast of Tabernacles. Now, it tells us in this particular passage, now during the millennial reign of Christ, the nations are going to come to keep the Feast of the Tabernacles, and the Feast of the Tabernacles is full of the blowing of trumpets. So, we got a problem. if the last trump in 1 Corinthians 15 is really the last one, then how can we have a millennium after the last trump? Now, I'm going to answer this, so don't get excited and don't get worried about it. But you can see the dilemma that it puts us in, trying to put these things together. Now, I'd like you to go back to Exodus chapter 19. And in the 19th chapter of the book of Exodus, we come to a passage where trumpet is used for the first time. Now, when you use something in the Bible, when something is used for the first time, it begins to give us some basis to understand how it will be used in the future. In Exodus chapter 19, the children of Israel were before Sinai, and they were being called together. If you look, please, we'll begin with the 16th verse. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And go back to verse 13. It says, there shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. The trumpet in this use was a call for assembly. It was the blowing of the trumpet that sounded out to the Jewish people in the encampment to gather together and be assembled because something was going to take place. It was preparatory for that which was about to come. The Romans used the trumpet like this. They called it the classicum. And the Romans used this to call all their citizens together. The emperor is coming. And when the emperor of Rome came riding down in his chariot, they leveled out the streets, they picked up the dirt, and so forth. I was pastoring on Long Island many years ago when Lyndon Johnson was president. Now, I'll admit he was never my favorite president, but that's immaterial. He was president of the United States, and we learned as young people, no matter whether we liked the man in power or not, we respected the office. And I heard our children were small, and I heard that he was going to be in a motorcade a block and a half from our house. I think it was a Saturday afternoon, and I said to John, I said, let's take our kids up so they can see the president. So one time in their life, they could say they saw the president of the United States. Well, we went up there, and at that time, he was flying in on an Air Force One, a 707, flew into Republic Field on Long Island. And when the plane banked around, you could see those big wings as he made his final bank and a final approach into the runway. And after a while, we saw the motorcycle policeman come along. But you noticed, I noticed something. That highway was always filthy with trash and cigarette butts and everything along the curb. It had been swept. It had been hosed down. I mean, you might as well have just put a red carpet down for him to ride on. It was beautifully taken care of. Preparation for the coming of the President of the United States. And this has been done throughout the ages. Now, I have to just finish the story. First thing you know, we saw the lead cars coming after the motorcycle policeman, and then the limos with the flags on, and here's the president's limo, and our girls were watching. He had darkened windows, and this is what they saw. Whoosh! And he was gone. All that preparation for maybe a second and a half of vision. God used the trumpet in the Old Testament here to call the people together. Go over to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. What I'm trying to show you here is that there were different purposes for the trumpet, the use of the trumpet, the blowing of the trumpet. The sixth chapter of the book of Joshua, you are aware of the marvelous miracle that took place in this chapter with the children of Israel at Jericho. You remember how God shut the people up within the city of Jericho. They couldn't come out. They couldn't go in. They were besieged. And the Lord said to Joshua, Joshua, I've given you this city. Now here's the way you do it. Gave him some of the toughest instructions that could have ever been given. He said, what I want you to do, you got to walk around that city once a day for 6 days. 2 million Jewish people. I think a greater miracle even than the walls coming down was keeping Jewish people with their mouths shut for 6 days. Not to say a mumbling word for 6 long days. And then what happened on the 7th day? And God tells us in verse 4, the 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. The trumpet sound was used to terrify the enemy. Turn over to Judges chapter 7. I'm building a case, but you probably can't see where I'm going yet. Hang with me for a while. In the 7th chapter of the book of Judges, we have the story of Gideon. And you remember what God did with him. You remember how they drank the water? How God cut the size of the army down from over 30,000 to how many? 300. I can see us going with 300 soldiers against Saddam Hussein. If it went in the power of the Lord, maybe we wouldn't need more than that. Well, anyhow, let's get off of that. Verse 16, he divided the 300 men into 3 companies and put a trumpet in every man's hand, with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. He said unto them, look on me and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of the camp and say, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. Now, and they broke the pitchers and there was the lamps and the trumpets were blowing all around them and the enemy was defeated. The point that I'm using is simply that they were used to terrify the enemy. There's one other thought that I'd like to give about 1 Corinthians 15 before I bring out 4 meanings of the trumpet, and that is simply this. In 1 Corinthians 15, you have the last trump. The last trump. And it's very fascinating if you make an exegetical study of the 15th chapter, we have Paul talking about the first and the last. The first Adam brought death. The last Adam. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Won't that be a great day? No more death. And the first trumpet, really at Sinai, brought death, and the last brings life. Now, the first meaning of the trumpet, it is the emperor's trumpet. I've already indicated that. It's the last trumpet has the same effect as the emperor's call of the classicum. The Corinthians would have been familiar with this. As the emperor's call summoned the citizens, Now watch it. So the last trump is going to summon the saints. You follow me? The Roman classicum, the emperor is coming. The last trump in 1 Corinthians calls us to go meet the Lord in the air. The summons to meet Jesus Christ in the air. An assembly in the air with the Lord Jesus Christ. It also is the beginning of the end of physical death, and it also will terrify the enemy. Think about this for a moment. I don't know what it's going to be like when the rapture takes place, because I've been my mind has been centered on what it's going to be like to be gone. I don't know whether the unsaved are going to hear that trumpet or not. You remember those with Saul on the Damascus Road. They saw a bright light, but the Lord only spoke to Saul. And whether that's going to be that only we will hear the trumpet or they will hear the trumpet, I don't know. It appears to me that we will be the ones who will hear the trumpet because it's a call to assemble. They're not going to assemble, but they could very well be terrified. Very well. The second use of the trumpet, go back with me to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus 23. In the 23rd chapter of the book of Leviticus, we have God giving to us seven feasts. If you understand the seven feasts of Israel and how they take place every year, it is a marvelous picture of the total work of Jesus Christ. Passover speaks of redemption. Passover comes on one day. What follows immediately? We have the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The unleavening speaks of sin. And the Feast of Unleavened Bread lasts for a week. The concept, once you pass the point of propitiation, once you pass the point of redemption through the blood of Christ, we should be as unleavened bread. We should be pure. We should be clean. Our sins are forgiven. And there is a call to this. And then we have the Feast of the First Fruits. And it's very interesting. The Feast of the First Fruits was always on the first day after the first Sabbath after Passover. Think with me momentarily. Go back to the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go back and think how he celebrated Passover. After he celebrated Passover, he went out and became the Passover lamb. But on what day was he risen from the dead? It was on the first day after the first Sabbath, after Passover, which is the Lord's day today. And right after that, there's Pentecost. And then, beloved, there's 5 months that the Jewish people have no feasts. None whatsoever. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, all come right together. And Pentecost follows shortly after. Then 5 months go by, and what's the next feast? The Feast of Trumpets. Calling together. And then the last two feasts, you have the Day of Atonement, and then the Feast of Tabernacles, and the Feast of Tabernacles is where man celebrates what the Jewish people celebrated when God would one day dwell with man. Now, I want to think of the Feast of Trumpets in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets and holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Now, what happens during the feast we have here? We have the Feast of Trumpets. And during the Feast of Trumpets, there are trumpet sounds of varying lengths. Here's what gets interesting to me. At the end of the feast, there is one long trumpet sound. It is called in the Hebrew, Tekiah Gedolah. This is a long blast that ends the Feast of Trumpets. But beloved, here's the interesting thing. Judaism from ancient times has said that that long blast, that Tekiah Gedolah, is connected with the raising of the dead. Isn't that interesting? What happens when that trumpet sounds in the future? When we go to meet the Lord, we who are alive and remain are caught up together with them, with those who have gone before, with those that are dead in Christ. And together we meet the Lord in the air. And they knew all about this. And the Jewish people understood that the Feast of Trumpets was connected with the raising of the dead. The third use of the trumpet is the war trumpet. I'd like you to turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 18. 2 Samuel, the 18th chapter. In 2 Samuel chapter 18, we have some very interesting things that happen here. 2 Samuel 18, and I'll get there in just a moment. It's always tough when it takes you longer to get there than the congregation. 2 Samuel chapter 18, the third use is the war trumpet. And there are many scholars today that hold that the trumpet that Paul used in 1 Corinthians 15 and called the last trump is a war trumpet. I can't prove this one other way, but you know as well as I do that the trumpet is used for various signals in the military. You have reveille, you have taps, the call for the meal, the call to arms, the call, you know, for this, that, and the other. And the men learn what these trumpet calls are. And you can hear that trumpet on the battlefield for a long distance. But it's also used to end the battle. Follow along here, if you would, please, in 2 Samuel chapter 18. We'll pick it up, please, down in verse 14. There's been a battle, Mount Ephraim. Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took three darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. You remember he was hanging there on the oak. And 10 young men that bare Joab's armor compassed about him, smote Absalom and slew him. And Joab blew the trumpet. And the people returned from pursuing after Israel, for Joab held back the people. And they took Absalom and cast him into a great pit in the wood and laid a very great heap of stones upon him, and all Israel fled, every one to his tent. What was the use of the trumpet here? This was the last trumpet of battle. I think this is fascinating. The sound of this trumpet was simply this. The battle's over. You can go on home. Now tie that together. Tie that together with the last trumpet. When that trumpet sounds at the rapture, the battle is over. and we go home. You see how the various uses of the trumpet in the Old Testament even fall and come under what the Apostle Paul is saying. In his book, Josephus wrote, in the war of the sons of light with the sons of darkness, he said that the last trumpet of the war, and this is fascinating, and this I quote it, is called the gathering of God. Isn't that what the rapture is? The gathering of God when he takes us home. So we have the three uses of the trumpet. The emperor's trumpet that summons the people together. Trumpet that will summon the believer to go with Christ. We have the feast of the trumpets associated with the resurrection of the dead. We have the war trumpet that lays out before us the simple fact that when it sounds, the battle's over and we're going home. And then the last trumpet, the fourth use of the trumpet, was to start and end a Roman army watch. You know, you go on watch for so many hours and then you go off and you go on watch for so many hours and you're off. They use the trumpet to signify the change of the guard, the changing the watch. Think on this. When that trumpet sounds, we'll no longer have to watch for his coming. No longer have to watch for his coming. We'll see him face to face. You ever been away from your wife for a long period of time? And you can't wait to see her? Back when I was with Friends of Israel, I would travel and I would do a lot of ministry on the West Coast, and I put a limitation on the length of time I'd be gone, 16 or 17 days. I'd go out on a Saturday and minister for 2 full weeks, and that would give me 3 Sundays to minister, and Monday I came home. And back in those days, Joan would meet me at the Charlotte airport, and it was always great to see her. And then she'd unload on me all the things that happened while I was gone, and you know how that is, guys. And I would be tired of seeing people. You know, when you minister every day, day after day after day after day after day after day, when you come home, you just want to sit there by yourself. And guess what? Poor Joan had been sitting there by herself for 17 days, and all she wanted to do was talk. And I'm ashamed about it now, but many of the time when I came home, I fell asleep on what she was telling me. She'd get so angry. You're not interested in what I was doing. No, I was tired. But here we have a great one that ends the watch. And I always like to get off that airplane or pull up into the driveway. There's nothing nicer, is it, than going back home. And one of these days, when that trumpet sounds, we go home. I've slept in a lot of good beds throughout the years, but there's no bed like mine at home. We have a daughter who's a pastor's wife out in Oregon today. And I remember Donna when she was a little girl. She didn't mind going somewhere, but in the afternoon she'd say, "You going to take me back to my bed tonight? I want to be in my bed." We took her to Yellowstone National Park one time. I have a sister who lives in Spokane, Washington, so we'd gone out to see her. We got out to West Yellowstone that evening, and we were going to go out and get something to eat. Donna says, "Nope, I don't want to go. I want to stay right here. I've got a bed. Get me a hamburger and bring it home." She wanted to be there. Aren't you longing for that home? Aren't you waiting? Aren't you desiring for that home? Go with me finally, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. What I've been trying to show you this morning is simply this. The last trump of 1 Corinthians has a particular usage. And that usage could fall in line with one of these 4 examples that I've given you. But it does not necessarily have to be the last trumpet of all trumpets being blown. And we can hold a pre-tribulation rapture, and we should hold of pre-tribulation rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we'll begin to read in verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. That's a great verse, folks. We're not going through the tribulation. But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. What are the things that the Lord tells us to do while we wait for the trumpet? We are to wait for His coming. We are to watch for His coming, and we are to pray for His coming. What does the Lord promise us? He promises a reward for those that are looking for His coming. My father passed away in 1985. He was just a couple weeks short of 84. And I remember Dad saying to me a couple years before he died, he said, Fred, I know I'm going to die soon. And he says, I'm not afraid of death. I know where I'm going to meet. I know I'm going to meet my Savior. He says, the thing that I don't like is the process you have to go through to get there. And my dad was my size. He went down to about 95 pounds before he passed away. John had the care of my dad for about 20 months, a little over a year and a half before he died. It was a tremendous strain on her. But all through it, all through that time, my dad kept looking up, waiting for his Lord to take him home. I shared this with some of you, and I'm going to share it as I close this morning. My dad had colon cancer. Of course, as time went on, when he came to live with us, he was able to get around. He went to church a little at first. He could walk out to the mailbox and get the mail, and whenever I was home, I'd take him for a little ride in the car so he'd get out, and we had some good times together. But he came to the point where he got pretty heavy medication. And I'll never forget, as he got on that medication, he was starting to hallucinate. And he would say to my wife, when I was gone most of the time, he would say, Joan, there are little green men around my bed. And he was seeing these things in his hallucinatory state. We had, he was under the care of hospice, and I will have to say they were wonderful to him. And I'll never forget, as he would tell Joan about these little green men, there was a black lady who came in three times a week and ate, and she bathed Dad. Joan did in between, but she was a believer. And my father loved the Lord, and she would hum hymns to my dad while she bathed him. And Dad just fell in love with that black lady. And we told her this one morning about the little green men that were there, and she said, I'll take care of that. And we listened. She went into that room, and she said, now, Mr. Fred, I'm a junior. Mr. Fred, you know you're going to be with the Lord soon. Oh, yes, Dad said, I'm looking forward to that day when I see the Lord. He said, in fact, he can have me right now. And she said, you know, it won't be long. He said, I know. And she said, I understand you're having visitors at night. He said, yes, I had these little green men. And I'll never forget how she handled my father. She said, did you ever think that as you're getting ready to meet the Lord, that the Lord sent these angels to gather around your bed, getting ready to take you home. And you know, that quieted my dad. And when she'd come to bathe him after that, he'd say, well, my friends were here last night. My friends were here. And he was looking forward to the day when he met his Savior. I'm looking forward to the day when I see my dad and my mother and others. But more than that, I'm listening for the sound of the trumpet that I'll see my Savior. He's the one I want to see. He's the one that did so much for us. My mother gave birth to me, but Jesus Christ gave me the new birth. My mother suffered pain for me coming into this world. My Savior suffered all kinds of agony as he hung there on a tree. And one of these days, he's just going to, the Father, I believe, is just going to simply say to the Son, Son, go get your bride. And we're going home. The trumpet will sound. You ready? You ready? What would you do if he came right now? Is that all right? That's fine by me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We tried to look at the fact that the last trump is not necessarily the last trump of everything, but is the last trump for those of us you've brought from darkness to light. It's the last trumpet that will sound and the battle is over. It's the last trump and we don't have to watch and wait and pray any longer. It's the last trump of an assembly of the believers in the sky when we meet Christ. Oh, what a day that's going to be. Father, we thank you for all that we have in Jesus Christ. Might we not only bask in his greatness to us, but might we be willing to serve with all that we have until the day that the trumpet sounds. And we thank you for this privilege in Jesus' name. Amen.